This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Amen, amen. You can have a seat. Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you today. My name is Freddie T. I'm the pastor here, and we've been preaching through the book of Luke here at Real Life. But we like to, before we kind of launch back into the fall, to recalibrate around our mission and vision. We like to re-ask the question of why. We like to retell the story of what God has done at Real Life and what he's doing and what we see him doing as we're moving forward. And so that's what today is. And we're going to look at one verse in Acts chapter 9. So I hope you found your place there. But Real Life is an amazing story that began with four pastors praying for 2 years about their common burden to see a new church planted in Sango. And these guys would just meet up for lunch and they would just pray and just say, Lord, we know that the Clarksville, Montgomery County area is growing. Lord, we know that there needs to be a vibrant church in Sango. Lord, and they just prayed, Lord, send a planter. Lord, prepare a people. Lord, pave the way. And after their faithfulness of praying for about 2 years, the Lord allowed our paths to cross, and he moved in the heart of myself and my wife, Susan, and we moved in about 3 years ago. 3 years next month, we launched public services that became Real Life Sango. So it's just amazing, you know, like if you're here, it's like you are in on the ground floor of something special, a new work that God is doing, and we're so honored that you're here. It's just so amazing that as we moved from Phoenix to Clarksville with a dream and a vision to plant a new church, we just envisioned meeting you, having no idea who would come and who would find hope and love and peace in Jesus and to find a family at Real Life. And so it's just so amazing to see what God has done. Before we launched the church, we did these family fun days. You'll see some pictures coming up on the screen where we just met our neighbors. We met the Sango neighbors. The church started in Carmel Elementary School. So before we ever gathered as a church, we were just ministering to the community, throwing big parties. You know, Jesus's first miracle took place at a party. Did you know that? So I think Jesus is pro parties. And so we threw big parties in the community just to meet our neighbors and to say, hey, we're going to be here to love you and to exalt Jesus. And we want you to join us. And what God has done in 3 years blows our minds. We've been able to buy land and pay for it in full. Glory to God and way to go, church. Just incredible. You see a picture of the land there. It's just awesome. Absolutely giving praise. That never gets old to me. It just absolutely does not get old because the story of how God did it is just incredible. And I love telling people that story. And so we've been able to begin to utilize the land for special worship gatherings, and our kids and students have begun to do things on the land. And it's just been a blast to see God begin to use this land that one day will be our future home. One day it'll be a building where we will gather. Next month, we'll introduce you to elders here at Real Life that are going to share in the shepherding load and help lead our church. I'm super excited to be 3 years in and be introducing you to elders. And next month, we launch community groups here at Real Life. And so this morning, I want to ask every one of you here to consider doing two things. I want to ask every one of you to consider going all in with Jesus at Real Life in two ways. One is to begin to give if you haven't yet begun to give. Everything that we've been able to do has been because of the generosity of God's people here at Real Life. So I want to invite you to join the generosity movement and begin to exalt Jesus and trust in Jesus with your finances. Begin to build the future of Real Life by giving regularly. So that's the first thing that I want to invite you to consider doing. Something nothing great happens apart from sacrifice. And so maybe the Lord has moved in your heart to increase the generosity of your heart this year. Maybe God has moved in your capacity to give, and you've got greater capacity to give than you did last year. And so I want every person to consider giving. Can I tell you what fires me up? Is when somebody tells me, hey, we had a student give. We had a high school student give. I love that. It's just incredible to see generosity springing up from students' hearts. The second thing I want to invite you to consider doing is to signing up, committing to a community group. They launch next month. Signups are live. You can stop by the community group map on your way out, talk to Noah and Michelle Reese, our community group directors, and see what night works best for you. Where in the community is there a community group that may be close to where you live and work? But here's the question that I want to ask this morning is why? Why? Why go all in giving? Why join a community group? Why build a building? Why buy land? Why gather in this place? And that brings us back to our mission and our vision. And our mission and vision are really simple. Our mission is delighting in God and discipling others. And our vision is to become a flourishing people in a multiplying movement. A real simple mission and a real simple vision, but I want to give you a picture of it this morning. I want to give you a snapshot of it this morning. I want it to go from being like words on a big banner when you walk in to something that's living in your heart and soul, our mission. In our vision. When we talk about delighting in God, for many Christians, this is a little bit of a paradigm shift because many people grew up in a church where the idea of delighting in God was not a readily available idea in their mind. Rather, they grew up in an environment that it was like dutifully obey God. And maybe like you're a little afraid about what if you don't. But the idea of seeing God as someone that you can delight in was just a foreign concept. It shouldn't have been because it's all over the scriptures. I love Psalm 16, verse 11 that says this, "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." It's a shame that the word pleasure, when we think about it, in our mind, many of us, when we think about pleasure, immediately some connotation of sin comes to our mind. And we need to take back the word pleasure and redeem it for the glory of God, because pleasure is for God's people in a relationship with God. At the right hand of God, in his presence, is pleasure. And that's the insanity of the ways of the world, is that we look for pleasure in all these other places other than God himself. And here's the good news of the gospel, is that God invites us into a relationship with himself. Listen, friends, don't miss this. God invites us into a relationship with himself through faith in his son, Jesus. And when we enter into a relationship with the living God, we find that there is nothing in life more enjoyable than God himself. Not the gifts that he gives, not the sins that we're tempted to engage in, but rather enjoying getting to know God and being in his presence. That's why the scripture says it this way, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And some of you, at some time in your past, and sometime in the history of your life, you had a little taste, a little bitty taste, but you've stopped feasting at the table of the Lord. And this morning, the Spirit of God is inviting all of us back into his presence afresh and anew. He's saying, "I haven't left you, but you've left the banqueting table of a close, intimate relationship with me. And I want to invite you to delight in me again." Some of you are here this morning and you still have not stepped into that, kind of out of that duty relationship with God and into a delighting relationship with God. Can I just tell you, it gets so much better. It just gets so much better. And here's what we see, that when we delight in God, our lives begin to flourish. So our mission, delighting in God, leads us to fulfill our vision to become a flourishing person. Delighting in God and then discipling others, and what does that mean? That means helping others delight in God. We do that in organized ways through community groups, and we do that in organic ways of you just meeting up with people, challenging them, encouraging them, praying for them over coffee. We delight in God. We walk with Him. We enjoy Him. And then we help others delight in God. And when that happens, we become a flourishing people. And when we help others delight in God, we become a multiplying movement. And can I just tell you, it's been like the privilege of my life to see God doing this in our midst. I think of Sarah Doty, dear friend. Sarah, when she first came to real life, she was invited by a friend. Can I just pause there? That might be the most important thing you hear all morning. Sarah's in the house this morning, and she was invited by a friend. And I just think, man, you've got friends. I have friends. And most of them will come if we persistently and lovingly invite them to come and gather. Sarah was invited with a friend, but as she tells her story, that first Sunday that she came to real life, she was so nervous that she left like almost before the service was over. Sat in the back, didn't talk to anybody, and as soon as she could, she was out. She was gone. She was out of the room. Well, Sarah, as many of you maybe have heard her story before, there's a picture of her baptism coming up here. There it is. That was a great day, wasn't it, Sarah? Sarah wrote this note, and just so beautiful. I'm not going to read it all, but I do want you to hear a little bit of what God has done in Sarah's life as we think about delighting in God and becoming a flourishing people. And Sarah wrote this, and she's talking, she was looking forward to her baptism day. It's just amazing because the first day we had scheduled for Sarah's baptism, it was a little overwhelming for her. Some of you have been there, you know, it's a little scary to get out in front of people, right? And so that first, it was kind of, we didn't make it on that first time, but we scheduled another one. But I want you to hear what made the difference in Sarah's life. She said, I told you a little snippet of my story, but I can never describe to you the thankfulness, the gratefulness and amazement I have that it made it here, that Kara invited me to real life, January 2020, when I needed the Lord the absolute most. I wanted to learn of Jesus and heaven and all that the Bible tells about. I am Jesus and Bible illiterate. Not anymore. But the congregation of real life, there it is. The congregation of real life has done nothing but accept me, welcome me, and befriend me. Everyone has been so excited to teach me about the Lord, and it has been a new and exciting experience. The Boyd's community group were the first to welcome me. Nick, Kyla, and Brad were so nice to me. I was so nervous and not quite comfortable yet. I share Sarah's story because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in our community that have her same experience, that need a community group like Nick and Kyla and Brad to welcome somebody that's not yet comfortable yet. I felt awkward and that I didn't fit in. I didn't know how to pray as eloquently as everyone else. Later, Karen Grace, my 3-month prayer partner, told me that God hears my genuineness and authenticity. It doesn't matter how beautiful it sounds. She's been an inspiration to me. We grew so close, so fast. Everything I've pushed myself to participate in real life has done nothing but brightened my life, which I told you, that means all caps a lot. Later, I joined the Mineer Community Group, all caps, wow, exclamation point. After slowly feeling more comfortable, they were perfect. OMG, I can't explain. Every single one of them has been amazing to me. And I kind of get that family feeling. There are many others along the way that were amazing to me. I have never felt so at home. I have never felt so at peace. In a time that is so dark, I could not have gotten through it without the hand of Jesus. I'm so excited to see what the Lord has in store for me. I'm so excited for life now, when forever I hated God and sometimes didn't want to live. Thank you, Lord, for helping me find real life. And thank you, real life. So why are we here this morning? What, so that the living God can meet people like Sarah. Isn't it amazing to hear her story? She described Nick and Kyla and their community group, and she described the Mineers community group. But then she immediately, rightly translated it as, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. It was the Lord working through the Lord's people. And I just think, you know, how amazing is it? The very first service that Sarah was at Real Life, she was so nervous and so overwhelmed that before the service was over, she was out the back door. But last week, she invited somebody and brought somebody with her here. And that's the transformation that God is bringing about in people's lives. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 31 with me. This is a verse we come back to time and time again as a church. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Luke writes, "So the church throughout all Judea and in Galilee and Samaria had peace." That's exactly what Sarah has today. Peace. "And was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." Isn't that beautiful? The Lord shows up in someone like Sarah's life and gives great peace. And now she's inviting others into this place to experience the same peace that she's experienced in the presence of God, the same delight that she's experienced in the presence of God. I think about Nick Boyd. Nick Boyd and his family were a part. She just mentioned Nick. Nick was a part of our church when we started. But can I tell you how nervous Nick was every time we gathered together as a core group? Nick would stand in the corner and not talk to anybody, and he would pace. Like this right here. Anybody remember that? I got Nick's permission to share with you this reality. Anxiety was his master. And Nick encountered the power of God. Nick encountered the presence of God. And God changed him, and God called him to ministry. And here's a picture of Nick preaching his first sermon at our old gathering. Listen, this is what God does. When we begin to learn to delight in God, the Lord delivers us from our anxiety. Like, how much so? Like, I can't look you in the eye, and I don't want to talk to anybody, and I'm in the corner, and now I'm on the stage preaching the gospel. That's the power of God, friends. Come on, somebody, right? This is why we are Real Life. It's so that people can encounter the presence of God, so that people's lives can be changed. But it happens at all ages and in all different kinds of ways. I think of the Van Kirks that just recently moved from Washington, Lily Van Kirk, and they began to visit Real Life just for a couple of Sundays. And little Lily went to Real Life Kids, and because so many awesome people serve in Real Life Kids and do such a phenomenal job of preparing for their lesson and loving the kids, Lily came out and told her parents, "I love this church so much, I want to go to it for the rest of my life." End quote. Do you see how it works? She didn't think the worship team was amazing. She wasn't moved by a sermon. She was loved by the leaders and Real Life Kids. And she came out and said, "I love this church so much, I want to go to it for the rest of my life." Friends, that's the living God at work touching hearts in this place. That's why. That's why we're doing it. That's why I want to invite you to go all in and give. That's why I want to invite you to commit to a community group so that you can get in on what God is doing and you can experience it. I think of Patty Howard. I've known Patty Howard my whole life. And she attended church for years upon years upon years. And as she would describe it, she sat on the pew. And she said, "I heard people talking about having a home church." And she said, "I was always jealous because I never understood what it meant to have a home church." And I'm thinking, what? You were there every Sunday, sitting on a pew. How was it not a home church? But as she stepped into Real Life, she was activated for ministry. She was launched into the hospitality team, and now she serves on the welcome team. And she says, "I now have a home church. I can't tell you what a bright highlight it is for me to have a home church and to serve at Real Life." And here's somebody that's been walking with the Lord for a really, really, really long time and sat on a pew for years upon years upon years. And now she can't hardly talk about Real Life without crying. And it's not because Real Life is amazing, but it's because the God that she's encountered, the ministry that she's been activated for here in this place is happening, is changing her life. I think about Daniel Cox. You know, when we launched this church, we threw around all these statistics. There's Daniel. Some of you are like, that's the guy. He's got that big camera he's running around with. I know that guy. Daniel's been in Clarksville about 2 months. When we launched the church, we launched it saying Clarksville is projected to grow by thousands of people in the next 20 years. You know, and for those of us that have been in this region for a while, we kind of thought, well, you know, I mean, projections, but we'll believe it when we see it. It's growing, but really, is it really going to grow that much? And I think it's probably going to grow beyond the projections, because who could have predicted all the climate in California in terms of what would be going and like the mass exodus from the West Coast that's been coming here? But Daniel moved from California on a visit, did not know they were going to put in an offer on a house. We're just visiting for the week, he and his wife. Bought a home, moved here, and within 2 months, he's now overseeing the video ministry at Real Life. Why is that? Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, it's because we have a value, equip, and empower. In other words, real life is not a spectator event. Real life is not an event where you come and sit on a pew and consume, but real life is a movement. It's a multiplying movement, and that's what God is calling us to be. And so it requires everybody to roll up their sleeves and get in the game and discover what God wants for them. Serving in kids and holding a video camera and experiencing freedom from anxiety because they're loved so well by God's people in a community group. Are you beginning to see what it means to be a flourishing people? God wants us all to experience freedom from the footholds in our life, and he wants us to flourish, but flourishing doesn't happen as a Lone Ranger Christian outside of community. That does not happen. God did not design us to flourish as an isolated individual. It can't happen in your life. But when you take a step into community, flourishing begins to take place. God made us to serve others. King Jesus, he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. So the more and more we become like Jesus, the more and more we step into serving others. So how is God stirring in your heart and calling you to go all in at Real Life? I think about Jen and Brian, and Jen attended here, walked in here, didn't know a single soul, and sat right on here. And at the end of the service, I gave people an opportunity to pray to receive Christ and to indicate that they were doing so by lifting their hands, and she lifted her hand. Brand new. Hadn't been in church in over 20 years. A weekend or two later, Shelly Reed and a couple of others helped them move into an apartment and get settled into an apartment. And Shelly began to share the gospel with Jen. Wasn't quite sure if she was all the way there, understanding God's love and the cross and the resurrection. And the next day, on Sunday, Jen meets with Bing at the prayer station, Bing Verbist. And Bing says, man, she's got a solid grasp of the gospel. So then the next Sunday, she was baptized. And then the next Sunday, we officiated their wedding at the end of the service. Do you remember that? Were you here for that day? Hell, mate. No, you weren't. You were like, oh, yeah, it was the early service. It was the late service. Incredible. Wedding dress, flowers, the full deal. Right here on stage. It was amazing. The Wednesday before that, Brian prayed to receive Christ in the Real Life office. Why are we delighting in God and discipling others? It's so that people can flourish for the glory of God. It's so that we can become a multiplying movement. In other words, listen, we don't just want this experience of delighting in God to keep for ourselves. We want it to spread, and we want our neighbors and our coworkers and the surrounding regions all over the place to encounter the freedom and the power and the presence of God. We want to become a real movement. Because you give so generously, we're able, when a tragedy like the flooding in Waverly happens, we're able to immediately give to people in need. Because you give so generously, and because we build our budget, our missions budget with margin, we don't have to take up a special offering. We're able to give immediately. And so one of our members, Antonio Murgas, owns a Domino's in Waverly. It was the building was half destroyed, the equipment, huge loss for Antonio. And for one of his workers, Malachi Thornton, 17-year-old pizza delivery man. And so Antonio discovered that Malachi and his mom, Kimberly, who's been blind since she was 7 years old, they lost almost everything. They were able to gather a few clothes and a few mementos, but lost everything. So Antonio, this past week, was able to take a check for $3,000 and to put it in their hands this week. I was kind of blown away. Yeah, praise God. We want to be a multiplying movement outside of this region. We want to take the hope of Jesus outside of this region. We want to take the love of Jesus. We want to share it and show it outside of this region, to the ends of the earth. I was kind of blown away. I started getting texts from Malachi this week, and he was saying, "What time does your service start?" "What's the address?" And I kind of thought, this guy might show up on Sunday morning. Malachi, would you stand up? Malachi's here this morning. Love you, brother. Malachi, I don't think you knew this, but our church has been collecting gift cards, so we're going to send you home today with a big wad of McDonald's and Subway and Walmart gift cards. Malachi's former foster mom and grandmother are here, and Sue, is that right? Sue and Tiffany, is that right? I met them just a few minutes ago before the service, and Tiffany now lives in Texas, and Sue lives in Waverly, and she, but they love him, and Malachi's been reunited with his birth mom, and cares. He's like the man of the house, right? Caring for her, taking good care of her. We're so proud of you, brother. So proud of you. You're doing a good work there, and but came up with his former foster mom and grandmother, who, you know, it's like when you open up your heart in that way, it's never former. It's like, you know, mom too, and grandma, and we love you, brother. We're so glad that we can just share the love of Jesus with you in a tangible way. And we're praying for you and hope that we can have a relationship past this. But you guys are amazing to drive up this morning and worship with us. Thank you for doing that. Today, you've got an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm done playing games with God. I'm done going through the motions with church. It's time for me to go all in and become part of this multiplying movement. For some of you this morning, you look at your life and you take an inventory of your life and you're like, you know what, I got a little Jesus sprinkled in here, but my life is not flourishing because I'm not delighting in him daily. And maybe you're sensing the Holy Spirit speak to your heart in a fresh way today. And I just want to let you know, listen, the grace of Jesus is an unending waterfall, and he will never turn you away, friends. And so however God is drawing you to himself today, just say yes to him and run to him. Don't run away from him. And listen, when you begin to delight in God, flourishing will be the fruit in your life. Sometimes, as you heard, it takes time. It's a slow process. But I'm super excited to hear stories of how God is loving people and how the people of God are loving people in tangible ways. So Brian and Emily Teton were recently asked to tell some of their community group story. And so I just want you to hear their story as you consider going all in, giving to the mission of Jesus at Real Life, and committing to a community group. That's the invitation this morning. And glory to God for the great things he's doing. But I want to direct your attention to the screen.
We came in August of 2019.
Yeah, but we had known we were coming here for a while before that, which was really nice. We could actually plan.
We came in August of 2019.
Here, being close to home. But we had known we were coming here for a while before that, which was really nice. We could actually plan.
So I'm in Fifth Special Forces.
And I was very happy to come here, being close to home. So I was thrilled and still am to be here.
Been doing this for. So I'm in the Army for 8 years now. Right now I'm a detachment commander
for just about 2 years at this point.
Been doing this for
been
in the Army for 8 years now.
Months.
Within Fifth Group for just about 2 years at this point.
And then we're out for a walk one night.
Yeah, we'd been here for probably a couple months. A
group of students stopped
been trying different churches around town.
Dog, cause it was part
and then
of
we're out for a walk
hunt.
One night. And so it was
of course
a group of students stopped
had a leash
us
over,
asked if
they
could walk our
dog,
which was part of the church scavenger hunt.
The Real Life flyer. So we set the course, went the next week, handed the leash over, and then just asked.
You know, being military, you're only in a certain town sometimes for a couple of years. And so for me, it's important to try to like make connections pretty quickly because,
you know, being military, you're only in a certain town sometimes for a couple of years.
And so for me, it's important to try to make connections pretty quickly because you're only going to be here for a certain amount of time. And they were like, we actually did the path.
Okay, and awesome. And it just so happened that in our path class, group is Michelle too. Reese,
were
we
in
all
there.
Started, and they were like, we're starting a new one, and
so,
we're like,
okay, it was awesome. And then another kind of couple in the same be, path, we feel like
group is us too. We all started going to that same community group, so
it was nice.
It was kind of meant to be. We feel like
during this last appointment, I definitely knew what you were going through. It was nice to know that. At least once a week, Emily had that escape, and she was going to be around people that
kids or whatever it was,
you know, knew what she was going through,
was able to
help her through it, and you know, anything that we needed. And
so
she needed,
for me, the two
kids or
biggest things
was,
I feel like that I've taken away in our time with community groups are. So for me,
just like the two connecting
things
with other people
like
that I've taken away in our
have dinner before our group, which is just nice to like get to know people,
just
on
like
more
the
level,
connecting with other people,
catch up, see how
we
their week's going,
have
that
dinner
sort of
before our group,
and
which is just nice to like get to know people
like
on a more personal level, catch up, see how their week's going, that sort of thing. And then having the childcare on top of
that was warm first,
like a lot of times have like a child like sitting on those while I was the only night that I
so
ate
it just,
dinner.
It was really great to have that.
That it was warm first off.
Everybody
and that I didn't have
always
like a child like sitting on me
while I was eating. It may seem
so
like
it was
something
just,
small,
it was
but
really great to have
really
that.
A big difference to me.
Everybody, of course,
during
like,
those six
always
months
would pitch in
when
if
I would get
anything.
There. Like,
it may seem like something small,
out of the
but one thing that really made a big difference to me during those 6 months.
Just so nice.
Like, when I would get there, like, our community group would come out of the house while they're already there and help me get every kid out of the car seat. And that was
been through a
just
lot
so nice and so helpful.
Yeah,
our community group
had births
like
babies.
We've been through a lot over the last
year and a half. You know, we've had people coming in and out,
but we've had births of babies. We've had
a cancer diagnosis.
Incredible to have remission. You know, we've just had some really real life hard things to go through, and it's been
like
incredible to have this group of people to be consistent with every
like
week that you can depend on.
It's definitely held true for us. And,
yeah,
just definitely give it a shot. Freddie always says the aspect of like friends becoming family. That's definitely held true for us, and just definitely give it a shot.
I think you can kind of get a visual picture of why the Tetons are so thankful that. That we give generously and provide to childcare workers so they can like adult for 2 hours once a week, you know, with other adults. So thank you for giving so that when Brian's deployed and Emily rolls in and she can look another adult in the eye and be prayed for and be encouraged. And thank you for jumping into the community group so that Sarah can be blown away by the love of God through the love of God's people. This fall, we'll begin to have serious conversations with an architect and contractors for our future building. But glory to God, we don't have to have a building to take the hope of Jesus to people like Malachi, right? We don't have to have a building to gather in homes of people and exalt Jesus and pray and see the Spirit of God do amazing things. So I'm excited because I know God is speaking to your heart this morning about a step that he wants you to take, about how he wants you to go all in, how he wants you to open your heart wide to what he's doing. So church, thank you. Thank you for being sensitive to what he's doing. On September 19th, is that right, Jeff? September 19th, we're going to celebrate our third birthday on the land. It's like a week late. That's all good. Like, it's just, you know, those people that like have a birthday week or a birthday month, right? When their birthday rolls around, it's just like, it's my birthday all month. That's the way we're going to roll in real life, all right? It's not even September yet, and we're already talking about our birthday, right, as a church. So all September, it's going to be our third birthday, okay? You guys okay with that? And we're going to gather on the land, and it's going to be a holy day and a happy day. And you want to invite everybody that you know so that they can kind of get a glimpse of what God is doing and what he's going to do in the future, right on? It's going to be a great thing. We're praying about right now adding a third service on Sunday mornings. Would you pray with us about that? We'll send out a survey this week to get your input because we kind of want to hear from you. It's a little tricky in this space because we have to be shut down out those doors by a certain time. So likely, what it would be, likely, but we want to hear from you guys on this before we take that asterisk away. But we would likely have an 8 a.m., a 9:30, and an 11. And the 11 wouldn't have any childcare. And that's okay. A lot of families like for their kids to worship with them in this space, so that's a win. But we don't want to move forward into this without the confident assurance that this is the Lord. So would you pray? And then would you give feedback when you get that little email with those questions with the survey this week, just so we can kind of have a sense. The second service is full. There's no room for growth. And if will you just look around this room this morning, this is like, it's like full. You know, it's like you got a handful of seats right here. When you think about this, how do you know if we have reached like our maximum ability to grow? How do you know? It's when a family of six walks through the door and cannot immediately see seats that their family can sit in together. So look around. That can't happen right now, not even in this service this morning. And it's been a while since the second service we've not been able to do it. So let's pray. Man, Jesus is building his church, isn't he? Father, we pray in Jesus' name, you'd be glorified in this place. Lord Jesus, that you would continue to be the head of Real Life and that we would continue to be a blessing to you, Lord. Father, we want to delight in you. We want to disciple others so that we can become a flourishing people and a multiplying movement, all for your glory. So Lord, just like King Jesus, you took the loaves and the fishes in your hand and you multiplied it, would you take us in your hands today? And would you advance your mission through us, your people? We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's sing out.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.